Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go!
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 46. I'm Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, we had kind of a rough weekend at the circuit contest, but how was the rest of your weekend?
It was not bad. I was up and down a little bit Saturday, but I ended up a couple of units in the positive. So I was mostly fueled by baseball games, to be honest with you. I've been doing pretty well in baseball.
Nice.
And then Sunday got hammered pretty good. The books got to me with the Dallas Cowboys and then the Kansas City Chiefs in the late night game. So took a L on Sunday. How was your weekend?
From a betting perspective, it was demolition. That money line situation was a disaster. So no more money lines, buddy.
Yeah.
It was a crushing defeat on every single one of them. And the Shockers went down as well, unfortunately. Shockers took an L. You know, Mikey, your cousin, he gave the ball away, I think it was four times in the game.
Just like Baker Mayfield.
He was just like Baker, pulled little Baker, trying to get it all back on one. And it was a rough one. So we lost that game. Did have kind of a fun weekend. Saturday turned out to be a little bit too much drinking, shocker. And then Sunday was more chill, watching the games, watching the Bears lose was tragic. Although they shouldn't have won the game, let's face it. They played so badly, and I guess we can talk about that later. But then, yeah, every game kind of went totally opposite the way I saw it going, so it just was one of those weekends. So chalk it up to a bad week and move on to the next one.
Yeah, the bookies got us this weekend, but we've got to come back better than ever.
That's right. Let's go over the episode. We have legislative updates, which are really just betting updates from some of our favorite bettors around the country here. We'll jump into college football, as always, look at our picks from last week, jump into the SP Plus rankings, a little bit of injuries, and then the spots for week 7 that we like. Of course, we'll jump into the NFL, talk about the overall betting kind of climate of this season so far, our net yards per play, the Wegs Index, some picks from last week and then going forward for this week's spots. And then we'll jump into the circuit contest tete-a-tete. We fell down to 920, but we still can get in the mix and get back into it. So let's jump into it, huh?
Yeah, ready to do it.
Well, tell me about Mattress Mack and what's going on with the Astros.
Yeah, this crazy guy from Houston, I think he did it a couple of years ago as well. He offers all of his customers in Texas free furniture if the Astros win the World Series. And I understand the campaign goes throughout the baseball season, most of the summer. So all these people are loading up on furniture, and he has essentially this huge debt on his mind that if the Astros win the World Series, then he'll be out. I think I heard close to $10 million.
Holy cow.
So he's been going around to all these books trying to bet as much as he can on the Astros to win the World Series to cover his losses in the furniture stores.
And you said that it's a $3.5 million bet, but it's plus 220 to win. So he'll win $7.7 million. So he'll get some of that money back.
Yeah, and I understand that he and his consigliaries are going around the nation, and they're trying to get more down as the playoffs go on. I think that, obviously, as the Astros keep winning, their odds are going to decrease. But his intent is to try to get some more money down to cover even more of those furniture liabilities.
That's an interesting way to do your business. I mean, obviously, it's a great promotion and gets people in the stores, but probably not the way you want to approach a business. But what do I know? Everybody's talking about him. We're talking about him. I've never, you know, I heard about him at VSiN as well. I'm sure that's where you heard it. And so it's, you know, word of mouth. Everybody's talking about it. But what's interesting about it to me is that it boils down to, I think, you know, the Astros got to beat the Yankees, right? I mean, that's kind of it's kind of a showdown now.
Yeah.
And I don't think the National League will be able to beat one of those teams, but if they get by the Yankees, I'm sure their odds are going to drop tremendously. So they better get their bets in this week. So the next one you got in here is our favorite guy, Duffel Bag Boy, or Duffel Bag Better. He's been back in Vegas, bathing in sinks across Vegas and winning big money, isn't he?
Yeah, he's cleaning up, and I think he may need to upgrade his duffel bag to a suitcase because he really took it home last weekend, $150,000 on Penn State in the first half to cover against Purdue, which came home easily. Mm-hmm. And then he also had a handful of parlays on Ohio State and Georgia, which both covered for another huge payday. So he's been hot lately, and I heard just yesterday he is on Indiana big this weekend, $330,000. To cover 26, 27, 27 and a half versus Rutgers.
So he's going to different casinos to bet that, or is he right there doubling down on the new line right away?
I think I heard an interview with Bogdanovich from William Hill, and apparently he made all three of these bets at their shop yesterday, and he would go away for sometimes 30 minutes or an hour and then come back and hit the same game again at a worse number. My guess is these three bets are 110 each. So.
Wow. Wow. I did. They were talking about another bet on VSiN about this guy who tried to bet actually $130,000 on the Chiefs to only win like $20,000 or something. Sorry, I didn't mention this in the pre-show. But talk to us just really quickly about betting money lines on heavy favorites. I actually ran into a guy when I was in Philly last week or week and a half ago, and he was betting all money lines on favorites like the Patriots or whatever. He's putting down pretty big money, but only to win, you know, like 5,000 to win 1,000, you know what I mean? So walk us through the logic there, if that's a smart play or not.
Well, I mean, you can do the math and try to figure the odds as long as you're getting ahead of the number. I mean, if you figure the Patriots, for example, have a 95% chance of winning their game this weekend, mm-hmm. then anything under those odds, 1 in 20, then you're actually going to be getting value on the Patriots. So if you could find their money line anywhere less than minus 1900, then you could potentially get some value on a heavy favorite there. The hard part is just figuring out exactly what that percentage is. You know, how many times in 100 games are New England going to lose to the Giants this weekend? Mm-hmm. And I've also heard that some players do like to do that occasionally just to build up loyalty points where they can get comps. If the comp system is based on how many dollars are wagered through the system, then they can kind of game it a little bit by putting in more money on these heavy favorites that they view as surefire things, and then they can get themselves some more comp points. So
interesting.
It's hard to say, depending on the bettor, which angle they're looking for.
I mean, so in the case of the guy they're talking about at VSiN, they ended up only doing a 65 grand bet to win 10 grand and got wiped out, obviously, with the Chiefs losing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what Vinny on there on VSiN was talking about is that, you know, it's going to take you, you know, 20, you know, like, well, in this case, it'd be, I guess it'd be six more bets like that to get back to even, right? I mean, you'd have to win that bet six or seven times to get back that money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's, I mean, I get it. The odds are in your favor in the sense that it's very likely that they're going to win and you're going to, you know, taking home money and cashing the tickets, the, you know, the way you do it. But we've talked before that when you look at the odds, you know, you're trying to get that minus 110 or better because then your percentage of winning only has to be 53.5% or whatever the number is. Whereas in those cases, you'd have to be right all the time, right?
Yeah, or at least six out of seven times.
Yeah, that's all the time. So anyway, it was just, I remember when the guy mentioned it a couple weeks ago, I forgot to mention the pod last week, I wanted to bring it up. And then when I heard this discussion this week, it just made me think, man, I mean, and I, obviously if you have the money, and I've heard a lot of people do that, you know, Super Bowl time to put these big wagers in, and it's only a dual outcome there and see what happens. And then they, winning money is the way to go, but it's risky. You lose all that money if you lose the bet. So.
Yeah, a lot of risky money line bets this weekend were big losers. The Bears, too, I think I read, had a few in Indiana especially.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I'm sure. Wired. I mean, even in Vegas, everybody was betting the Bears. So it was just taking money. The casino just cashed in, you know. So. Mm-hmm. Let's go over our college picks from last week and jump into college in general. We had some winners and losers, 50-50 here. Unfortunately, UCF did not come in. They lost to Cincinnati 27-24. Cincinnati looked like the better team that day. They played really well. UCF did make a comeback, but they couldn't get over the top, and Cincinnati got the win outright.
Yeah, this was kind of a back-and-forth game. Cincinnati was in command throughout, except for right at the end of the first half. And UCF really kind of moved the ball on them, but they stalled in the red zone a few times and had a few crucial turnovers down there, which didn't help the cause. So tough loss there, but we'll move on.
Exactly. You did hit Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh beat Duke outright. They were getting 4 points at Duke, and they ended up winning 33-30. One of the comments I wanted to make, I've noticed, at least in college, maybe in the pros too, more often than not, these teams, if they don't cover, they just outright lose. It's really weird. I'm not saying you can predict that, but most of the covers for the underdog are outright winners in college, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I mean, there is some value in potentially sprinkling some on the money line, especially when you're looking at a short road dog like that, like Pittsburgh was. But for me, I think the handicap came true, just that Kenny Pickett and that passing offense for Pittsburgh is really catching odds makers off guard, because they're expecting this humdrum offense that Pittsburgh has fielded for years, and they actually have a little bit of a passing game this year. So something I'm going to be looking to try and back them in weeks in the future.
Yeah, that's their second big win this year, so in an underdog situation. Oklahoma at Kansas, this was a first-half wager for 20 points, and they won the game by 25, but they only led 21-7. Obviously, looks like they just didn't take Kansas as they had on other games coming out, you know, guns a-blazing, did they?
Yeah, and Kansas got on the board first with that touchdown early in the first quarter. And after that, it was just difficult for Oklahoma to make their comeback and get to that stretch. Although, I mean, I think they were probably in a little bit of a look-ahead spot. They've got Texas on deck this week. So
yeah, the Red River rivalry, it's a big game. One that I was looking at is, you know, SMU back in the Mustangs. They were playing Tulsa, and I mean, they were getting housed in this game early. They did come back to actually eventually win the game, as you've noted, in triple overtime, 43-37, but they were nowhere near covering this game at 11.5 points, so that was a loser for me.
Yeah, it was a wild game. They were down 21 points going into the fourth quarter and mounted a 21-0 comeback in the fourth to tie it up and send it to overtime. A miraculous victory for them.
That's right. So they still remain undefeated. I'm still going to look to back them when I can, but that number was just a little too big, I think. Texas, they were at West Virginia. I got them at the proper number. I know that some people had 11, so this was a push in kind of the bigger picture because they won 42-31, but I got them at 10.5, so I won my bet. Mm-hmm. Texas, I tell you, man, we'll see what happens against Oklahoma, but this team, this defense is no good.
Yeah, they are pretty bad, and I think that Oklahoma is going to shred them this weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, giving up 31 points to West Virginia is not something that you want to show in the box score.
Exactly. Maybe it's a look-ahead spot for Texas, just like Oklahoma, but we'll have to see. Northwestern and Nebraska, I did not bet this action. Thankfully, Nebraska was 7-point favorites at home, and, man, they look like duds. I don't know what's going on with this team. Maybe is Martinez hurt or something? They won the game, 13-10, but it was a snoozer. I mean, nobody was scoring for the first part of that game, and they won the game, but they did not cover at all.
Yeah, really have to ask questions about Nebraska. I don't think Martinez is hurt at all. Their offense is just mediocre. Northwestern really followed through on their moniker of being a good underdog in the Big Ten games, and really Nebraska was lucky to escape with a victory in that game.
They were at home too. The last game, Memphis at Louisiana Monroe. This was one I identified, didn't bet though. Don't. But they were 14.5-point favorites at UL Monroe, and they did win by 19. The game was close for a long time, but Memphis did win out in the end. They won 52-33, so it was definitely a cover. Still not sure why that line was the way it was, but hopefully our listeners jumped on that one.
Yeah, certainly a curious line in hindsight.
So we jump into the SP Plus, and look at Ohio State right there with Alabama, just 0.1 behind at 32.4, where Alabama's at 32.5. This Ohio State team is balling.
Yeah, I've been mostly impressed with their defense this year. They're now third in the defensive rankings, and mm-hmm. that secondary is really limiting explosive plays, which was their Achilles heel last season.
That's right. And then you've got Oklahoma, third at 28-8, LSU at 27-5. We'll see how that goes. It's a big game this weekend for them. Georgia, 26-8. Wisconsin still up there at 25-8. And then Penn State, interesting, 25-2. Clemson, Florida, and Missouri round out the top 10. Very big, interesting situation for Missouri.
Yeah, Kelly Bryant knocked out of the game late this week with a lower leg injury, and it's still unknown if he's going to suit up this weekend at Ole Miss. So initially I was looking to back Missouri on that spread. Came out at like 10.5, but probably not something I'll be interested in without the status of Bryant known.
And their defense is pretty well ranked. They're seventh in this index. I mean, that's impressive. So they're playing some football. It's too bad they're not bowl eligible. But
yeah, strength of schedule is a little bit questionable too. And right. If you remember, they went on the road and lost to Wyoming early in the season.
Oh, I remember. That's just kind of strange that they bounced back from that. So what of these injuries that you've listed here of note? Do you see any that's going to impact your betting this weekend?
Well, I was looking at Illinois. Mm-hmm. They're playing Michigan this weekend, catching a big 3-touchdown spread. But their quarterback, Brandon Peters, is now questionable. He left the game against Minnesota. So that's one that caught my eye and paused my betting. And another one that I was interested in is the Maryland and Purdue game. You've got tons of questionable players in that game, right, including the Maryland quarterback, Josh Jackson, who left last week's game with a right ankle sprain. So, and obviously Rondale Moore, his status is still up in the air. So something to monitor in that one.
You've also listed Texas running back Keyonte Ingram. He's got an undisclosed injury, so we're not sure if he's going to play. That obviously is a big injury for Texas, who's up against the Sooners.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at our spots for week 7. Which ones do you like this week?
First one that jumped out at me was Toledo and Bowling Green. It's a 25.5-point spread, very big number for the Rockets. But this is a pure fade of what amounts to be the worst team in Division One, according to SP Plus, 130th ranked. And they're giving up a net yards per play of -3, which is almost as bad as the Miami Dolphins.
Almost. Yeah, they did not show up against Notre Dame last week. So maybe they just kind of collecting the scholarship checks, apparently.
Yeah, and this Toledo offense is pretty good. The quarterback, Mitch Guadagni, can really throw the ball. And they're in the 50s on offense, 59th ranked. So I expect that they're going to put up plenty of points against Bowling Green this weekend.
Nice. This next game you have listed is a big battle in the Big Ten, especially for Wisconsin. Michigan State at Wisconsin. But you're not looking at the spread here. You're looking at the total. You're saying the 40 total is you'd play the under.
Yeah, I like the under in this game. I initially was looking at backing Michigan State, but I'm not sure that their offense gives me enough motivation to do so, but that led me to the under in this game. Michigan State, we've talked about for weeks now, is having one of the best defenses in the country. Mm-hmm. And when you look, Wisconsin is actually first ranked in points per game allowed on their end. So, and when you see that Wisconsin relies so heavily on the running game with Jonathan Taylor, they average 63% of their plays as running plays. I think the clock is going to be moving in this one, and I don't think that either quarterback, whether it's Jack Cohn for Wisconsin or Lewerke for Michigan State, are going to be able to do much on offense in this game. And looking at the weather, too, they're projecting winds greater than 15 miles per hour at Camp Randall. So all adds up for an underplay for me.
Right. There is. I mean, it's a 10.5-point spread. It's a big spread for such a low-total game. So I can see why you were looking at Michigan State there. And we'll see. This is obviously a show-me game. Wisconsin obviously destroyed Michigan, but we know what Michigan is now. They had a little bit of a setback, and Wisconsin could have been beaten a couple weeks ago. So this is a big game for them. You know, it's not in the same division, but if they want to be considered in the national picture, this is a huge game for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And a tough scheduling spot for Michigan State, too, coming off that emotional game at Ohio State last week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the next game you've got listed is Temple. They are getting 6 points against Memphis at home. Temple is a pretty good team. Memphis, we know, can score. That's all they do. They don't really play defense. So why do you like the Owls in this one?
Well, it's a good scheduling spot. They played last week on Thursday night. in that crazy finish against East Carolina, where they won 27-17, and that gives them the rest motivation against Memphis. And it really comes down to that Temple defense. They're 12th ranked in SP Plus, and that Memphis offense is a little bit of a flash in the pan where they're not very consistent in terms of moving the ball. They just like to rely on the explosive play. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Temple's metrics, they're second in the country at defending explosive plays. And I think that is where they're going to win this game. I like Temple plus 6, and I think they're going to win this outright as a moneyline underdog as well.
Well, hopefully you can jump on it plus 6. I see BetOnline 5.5 now, plus 100. So it looks like, you know, maybe there'll be some line movement or something there. But, yeah, I mean, Memphis hasn't played anybody good so far, so we'll see how that works. The one I like here is Florida State at Clemson. Never thought I'd be saying this action. Was really down on Florida State coming in with Willie Taggart and the gang, but Hornibrook is playing really well for them, and Clemson isn't really covering these big numbers, so 27 points seems like a lot. I did bet it at 26.5, so I should have waited apparently. What do you think about that angle?
I think there's only one way to play it, and that's certainly with the underdog. Hornibrook has played in big games before. It's certain that he won't be struck by the bright lights there at Clemson this weekend. And I think you're spot on that the Clemson offense particularly has been underperforming. Trevor Lawrence has not looked like the Heisman Trophy candidate that we expected going into the year. So certainly something that I think Florida State could stay within that big number, almost 4 touchdowns now.
I know. If it gets to that, I'll hit it again. But
yeah,
I
mean, 28 would be some really nice value.
Exactly. Another one I'm looking at is to fade the Mountaineers again. Iowa State is, they're laying 10 points at West Virginia. West Virginia played a decent game last week. They were kind of in it. I don't know if they're getting better or not, but I like Iowa State. I bet it at 9.5, actually. So I felt like I got under the 10, which I felt pretty good about. What do you consider in that angle?
Yeah, I mean, fading the Mountaineers has certainly been profitable for us this season. And Iowa State and Brock Purdy has really stepped up their game. They had a great win last week, and I think you may be on the right side there. I'm probably going to stay away from this one, though.
It's an interesting total. It's 53.5, which is kind of high for an Iowa State game. But yeah, I mean, West Virginia doesn't really – they don't put up a lot of resistance on defense, so –
Yeah, SP Plus has it at 14, so you're certainly getting some value when you compare it to that number.
Interesting. Okay, last one is USC at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is laying 11 points at home, and to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading SP Plus here, or I'm not sure, but this, to me, is only supposed to be in a 9.5-point game favored for Notre Dame. USC has been pretty good. I know that they probably have their third stringer and all, but I don't know. What do you think about that action?
Yeah, I mean, last season, if you remember, Notre Dame was a heavy favorite going into USC, and they kept it close throughout, and the Trojans ended up covering that game. So I think this one shapes up to be a similar contest, and that third string quarterback has been playing well so far this season. I don't know if Slovis is set to return or not. That's something that I would want to look into a little bit. But I do think that it's either underdog or pass in this one as well.
Yeah, it's still sitting at 11, so I'm just kind of looking at that. You know, Notre Dame being a public team, I figured this might actually get bet up, so I would like that. Get more points, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
We get to the NFL. I mean, the NFL has been crazy. You've noted that it was 7-7-1 this week against the spread for favorites and underdogs. I guess it depends on the numbers you look at. I kind of had a different take, but I mean, the bottom line is underdogs have still been killing it. I mean, if you look at it for the course of the season, it's just been the dogs have been barking first 5 weeks of the season. It's kind of incredible.
It really is incredible how much these underdogs have been able to hold on, and a lot of them are winning outright too, like you're mentioning. So
yeah, if you can just pick the right ones, not like me.
Yeah, I dabbled in a few underdog money lines this week too, which didn't pan out, including Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I know. Tampa, they screwed me. But so what about the totals? What's going on with the totals in the NFL right now?
Yeah, evening out a little bit. The overs were 8-7 this week, but the unders are still hanging onto a slim lead, 41-37. And I think, as we've talked about the last 2 weeks, it looks like the scoring is trending up in the last couple of weeks. The holding calls are going down, right, and these quarterbacks are starting to get a little bit more of a foothold against some of the defenses. So lost a little bit of an edge there looking for those unders, but I'm still going to target my first half unders here and there personally.
I think the first half, I mean, a couple games obviously explode out, but for the most part, yeah, the games seem to be, you know, picking up scoring in the second half. So a lot of times those first half under is the way to play, because it just seems like either the defense is tired or there's adjustments. And then those fourth quarters, I wonder, I'm sure you can bet totals in the fourth quarter, right? But I mean, it seems like fourth quarters are insane.
Yeah, there's a few books out there that'll offer you totals for third quarters and fourth quarters on the pregame lines.
Yeah.
So another angle that I've been playing a lot lately is just New England Patriots games, live total under. And the first 4 weeks, there's been early scores in every one of their games, and the books are inflating the totals up into the 50s, which is clear to me they're never going to get there with that defense. So I've been hitting those unders and have scored on a few of them.
Nice work. Well, let's go over the metrics first before we get into spots. You've got the net yards per play. Dallas sitting at the top, 2.1. A little bit curious, but I understand why.
Yeah.
49ers, 1.8. They're number two. Minnesota's at 1.7. Then there's New England, 1.4. Kansas City still up there at 1.2. Our beloved Bills at 1. And then Carolina, 0.9. Got to be a little surprised with Dallas, right?
Yeah, I think that they racked up a ton of yards in that second half last week when they were down by 28 points to Green Bay. So a little bit of smoke and mirrors, I think, there. Dallas does sit at the top end of the league, averaging 7 yards per play on offense right now.
Wow. Yeah, it seemed like when I first turned on the game, I was at a party and missed the first half. And I saw that Amari Cooper had 110 yards and no touchdowns. And I turned on the game and they hadn't scored. I'm like, what the hell happened? Obviously, they were turning the ball over in 10 minutes, but yeah, that defense really let down too. On the bottom, no surprise, Miami, the Jets, Cincinnati, Washington. Obviously, we didn't mention Jay Gruden got fired. No shock there. The Colts are down there. Man, they're a mystery of science. And then the Giants and the Arizona. So the Colts are the one team that just, we've talked about this, and it didn't work out in the handicap for our Chiefs pick. This team is not lighting it up. But obviously they're playing old school football. They're grinding it out. They did it against Kansas City, scored 16 points. They did have a lot of yards, but it was mostly on the ground, and they're just running clock.
Yeah, it really comes down to clock management. When you look at the totals, they're giving up 6.1 yards per play on defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where their number gets dragged down quite a bit here. But it becomes a lot less critical when your defense is only on the field for 40% of the game. And I'm sure if you looked at time of possession, they would be near the top, because that run game has been excellent so far through the first 4 weeks.
And Kansas City couldn't stop the run. It was kind of, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm rooting for our bet, but I mean, it was like you knew that Reich was going to go for fourth and one every time. Why not? Yeah. They couldn't stop it.
Yeah, at one point in that third quarter, I think they had a drive that lasted 8.5 minutes went 35 yards. So it was just total domination by the Indianapolis offensive line.
Yeah, exactly. So when we move to the WEGS index, it's not dissimilar in some ways. I mean, Patriots are still at the top of the heap, but after that performance last night, the 49ers are right behind them. So Patriots at 3-0 in the ranking, 49ers are 3.5, so they're just right there. That defense just dominated Cleveland. Then there's a drop-off. Then you've got the Cowboys 8-3, Chiefs 10-0, and Vikings 10.3, which really just tells you that the Patriots and 49ers are playing really great football right now. And I was a little surprised, as my money line bet told me, that the 49ers kept it up. But I guess that defense is legit.
Yeah, their defense was awesome last night. They were after Baker Mayfield all night in the backfield, and he just can't perform under pressure. So I am a believer in the 49ers now. Yeah. Any teams here on your list that are a surprise to you?
Well, not really. I think it's kind of similar to last year when we, you know, I know you doubted the Bears for many weeks, but the metrics are telling you that the 49ers are the team, you know. At some point, you got to accept the fact that the team's good, you know. I'm a little surprised at the Chiefs, but I guess the way the Chiefs have put up yards, you know, even in the loss this last week, that's kind of how it works. But that defense is really bad. And Spagnuolo has not gotten a handle on it, unfortunately. So, but 10-0 in the index, it just means like it's kind of like you're ranked 10th almost, even though it's not how it works. So it's definitely they're in the pack more than they are at the top, even though this is the top five teams. So no real surprises besides the 49ers, but I watched them last night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So last week on the picks, not necessarily the Circa contest, we split. You had the Jets at Philly over 43.5 for the game. Unfortunately, the Jets stink. They can't score, so they couldn't get there at the 31-6. That's 37 points.
Yeah, we really got falked in this one because Luke Falk just couldn't move the ball at all. They did score that one touchdown and weren't able to finish with a PAT, but mm-hmm. if we had gotten one score out of the Jets there, I think we could have gotten to this number. But we'll move on.
We did get two defensive scores in this one, which That's usually true. Gets you over, but unfortunately there was no garbage time, not enough garbage time anyway. But your New England at Washington, that first half under 23 cashed pretty easily, and actually Washington kind of hung with them for that first half. It was 12-7, and they actually had the lead 7-0, right?
Yeah, the Washington Redskins, I think they scored the first touchdown of the day and cashed a huge prop out in Vegas in that early game first touchdown prop. But it scared me a little bit, to be honest, because I still thought the Patriots could easily get to 21 by themselves. But
sure. The
Redskins defense was really impressive, and they were playing hard and really has you questioning how prolific this New England offense is this year.
It seems like Belichick this year is not really caring about the offense at this stage. He's just fine-tuning that defense, completely crippling the other team. And it's not that he obviously doesn't care about Vegas, but he's just basically, hey, we're going to run it down your throat. I mean, they threw a little bit later, and they got, well, they scored 33 in this game in the end. Mm-hmm. They did cover their overall number for the spread. But, yeah, it seems like, hey, he's all about the defense this year, which – that is what wins usually.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that us as bettors have to take notice about these game plans too, where they're so more focused on running the ball mm-hmm. and just not making mistakes, because I think he and Tom Brady know how good their defense is. As long as they're not turning it over, they're going to be in every game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just transitioning into the week 6 spot, this is your big one, Giants at New England, like a broken record, first half under 23.5. Walk us through the handicap again.
Yeah, I mean, every week it's remarkable how these totals open up for New England Patriots games. This week, 46.5, and I'm looking at the board now and the full game total has crashed to 42.
Right.
So it's like they're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the value is gone there on that side, but you can still get a juicy number here on the first half. 23.5 is some serious value. Mm-hmm. And I do get a little scared about that Giants pass defense, but like I just mentioned, New England's not really lighting the world up. They're happy to run the ball and run the clock. So
absolutely.
I'm happy to bet under again.
Great. Well, let's jump into the Circa contest. And first of all, obviously we went 1-4. We took it on the chin. I'm not sure I would change a lot of these handicaps. I mean, we just – some of it was bad luck or bad – I don't know. We don't know the NFL for that week, but
– Yeah, I mean, when you go back to it, Jacksonville was in that game. They could have easily covered. I still think that the Cowboys was not a bad pick.
Right.
The game just got out of hand for them, and they couldn't stop Aaron Jones. So that was certainly not helpful. And the one pick that I think was definitely the wrong side was that Tampa Bay game. I was super impressed with the New Orleans defense.
They're for real. They are for real. I'm going to be a believer, not just a Teddy Bridgewater, but that defense just, they do what they want to do. We just discussed it. Mike Evans, 0 yards, 0 catches. I mean, Godwin got there, got some yards. But when I was looking at the numbers early, Jameis Winston did nothing for 3 quarters. And they couldn't run the ball because the Saints are going to stuff the run. And so, you know, Bridgewater obviously passed all over them. I think we got duped a little bit, or I did. I probably talked into this pick, that the Tampa defense isn't good. They show that they're good, and maybe they slowed down Kamara on the run, but their pass defense is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So they've given up, 800-plus yards in the last 2 weeks. But that's okay. We'll bounce back. We'll check into these. You've looked up the Westgate Superbook lines for week 6, which are not the official lines for Circa. So let's talk about it. I mean, the Giants are hosting New England. That's a Thursday night game, which we never bet. It's too bad because I think New England probably would be a good pick at 16.5. Mm-hmm. But we'll throw that one out. But at least we got the action on the first half under. What about Carolina visiting Tampa? Oh, no, this is in London. Carolina yep. against Tampa in London, which will be an early kickoff. It's like 8:30 in the morning or maybe 9:30 your time.
Yeah, 6:30. I'm going to be in Nevada this weekend at Tahoe.
Oh, that's right.
Super early kick for me.
That is early. Carolina is laying 2 points there. Any ideas on that when you just want to stay away?
You know, I would probably lean to Tampa Bay again, unfortunately, especially catching points in this game. If you recall, a few weeks ago, they came out on a Thursday night and really roughed up Carolina in that game. Of course,
I remember.
That was with Cam Newton in right. the lineup. So I don't know. Do you have a feel on this one?
I got to start following my index a little more. You know, it's definitely over 50% here, even in the early season. The Panthers, you know, you talked about it before. Their defense is actually pretty good. Now, they had the Kawan Short injury. Mm-hmm. They obviously had the defensive score was the difference with the Jaguars. And it seemed like Minshew was moving the ball on those guys. But, yeah, they're quite a bit better in the index here. If it was a road game, a true road game, then I think the 2 points would make sense. But it's effectively a neutral site, you know, maybe not a home game. 2 points doesn't seem like enough for the Panthers. But I'm okay staying away mainly because this London factor. I mean, the Bears, we didn't talk about it mm-hmm. specifically. The Bears did not come ready to play. The first half, they gave up 17 quick points and just looked, they were sleepwalking. So I can't predict how these teams are going to be. Maybe if everybody gets out there early, it's an even par. But clearly some teams take that trip seriously and others don't.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I'm happy to stay away. But if for some reason later in this week we get more info about travel plans, there could be an edge there, just like last week where the Raiders clearly had an edge based on their travel schedule.
Yeah, they looked ready to play and they pummeled them. The next game is Baltimore, 11.5 points, laying 11.5 points at home against Cincinnati. Look, Cincinnati's terrible. We know this, and I should have known this last week. Did you mention the Cardinals? I know that people were talking about the Cardinals in that game, and I was like, man, the Cardinals, I can't trust them.
I know.
Man, Cincinnati sucked. They were down like 14 points in that game, and they actually came back to, you know, they tied it a game, I believe. But Baltimore isn't playing good either. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, the index tells me to take this and run because this is like the second biggest difference in the index between teams. But it is a division game. It's hard to say. Any thoughts?
So to clarify, the index loves Baltimore?
It does.
Okay. You could talk me into that for sure. I know that Baltimore's defense has been awful this year. They're now 24th ranked in Football Outsiders, and they're giving up yards to anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you consider now, after watching that Cleveland offense last night versus San right. Francisco, that's the same offense that torched the Ravens just last weekend.
So weird.
So it is a strange league, but I think one constant that we can get out of this is that Cincinnati is really bad. For the first three quarters in that game, they couldn't move the ball against a terrible Arizona defense.
At home.
So, yeah.
At home. It's crazy.
I could definitely see John Harbaugh and company lighting up the scoreboard and covering this number this weekend.
Yeah, the Bengals are second to last in the index, tied with the Redskins. So that's to tell you how bad this team is. But it's the NFL, man. Like the Broncos last week, I know that it was a big number for the Chargers, and it's almost like a home game for the Broncos because of the fan base, but you just can't predict the NFL, you know?
Yeah. The only thing is, I'll say on the other side, Cincinnati is actually pretty good at covering road numbers okay. as underdog. Remember, they got us at Buffalo in the second week.
Yeah, they got us at Seattle, too.
That's right. Yeah,
they got us the first couple of weeks, but I don't know. We'll see. The next game is Kansas City. They are at home. They're laying 5 points to Houston. Obviously, coming off a demoralizing loss, they hung in there, but Colts just kind of pummeled them. The big thing is, you know, I know that he's probable, but Patrick Mahomes got injured in this game, and he wasn't the same when he couldn't, you know, run around. That offensive line doesn't seem to be protecting him very well.
The offensive line was really giving up a lot of pressure against that Colts defensive line over the weekend, and certainly something that I think we should look at. But with this large move down from the opener of 7 or 8, I think that there's actually a little bit of value on Kansas City in this game. Okay. There's actually a 4 at one spot at BetCris as well. So perhaps we could get lucky and squeeze out a little more value with the contest line here.
Yeah, maybe it will, because it'll come out in a couple days. Now, we didn't talk about Houston's effort. I mean, they destroyed the Falcons. That was another clear cover. And, geez, I mean, Watson went crazy. Will Fuller with 3 touchdowns. It was, man, Atlanta secondary is bad too. Okay, Jacksonville, they are at home. They are laying 1 point against the Saints. We've discussed the Saints at length the last couple weeks on the wrong side. Can you get on board with the Saints on the road against Jacksonville?
Man, this one is really tough for me because you know that I like Jacksonville, generally speaking, and I've been looking to fade New Orleans every week. So theory would be that I would love Jacksonville in this spot, but for some reason, the past couple of performances by these Saints have really thrown me a little bit and kind of leans towards me wanting to pass this game. What do you think?
Probably a good pass, you know, trying to trust the index now. It's, you know, it's week 6, using 5 weeks of data. They're actually really closely ranked, these two teams, and the line is probably right, maybe a little bit low, maybe even for Jacksonville, actually, when you look at the pure numbers of the index. You know, the Saints, as much as the defense is playing well, the offense, besides last week, has not been doing much. So, you know, Jacksonville has moved the ball. I think their biggest factor is the turnovers, as we discussed via text during the game. If they didn't turn the ball over against Panthers, they probably would have won the game, you know? But, you know, obviously it's a young quarterback, and he got 2, you know, sack fumbles. One was one for a touchdown. So, you know, we'll see. It's probably a good pass game, but they are really close in the index for me. So it kind of makes sense, the line, at least maybe a little bit shaded, a little bit too much to the Saints, but we'll see. Minnesota and Philly. Minnesota is at home here. They're laying 3 points against Philly. Philly is starting to kind of put it together a little bit better. They played good at Green Bay and won. They played great against a terrible team in the Jets. Minnesota got right against the Giants, but here's my take on this one. Kirk Cousins can't beat a good team.
Yep.
So in terms of the index, Minnesota is the pick in the index, but these teams are really dead even, so they might be getting a little too many points at home, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, if we can get a flat 3, you could definitely talk me into Philadelphia here, too. I think that is definitely the angle that I like, and Cousins has not performed well in these games. The Philadelphia secondary does give me a little bit of pause, because when you look at those wide receivers, Thielen went off last week, and Diggs. But I think the real handicap here is going to be that Philadelphia run defense versus the running game of Minnesota, because early this season, that's all they've been wanting to do is try to run the ball. And Philadelphia actually has a pretty good run defense and defensive line. So I think that they're probably the side here.
I'm in agreement there. So mark that one as a discussion. What do we got? The next one is Washington. Boy, the Stinker Bowl. Washington, who has a new interim coach in Bill Callahan, is laying 3 points on the road at Miami. Do we know that Haskins is going to start, or it's going to be Colt McCoy?
No, I'm just speculating it's going to be Haskins, because everything I hear in the media is that the owner, Dan Snyder, is the one who pushed to draft him, and he's been pushing for him to get playing time as well. So if it's Haskins, I really like Miami in this game, unfortunately. If it ends up being Keenum or McCoy, it could be a different story.
It's just crazy that a team that just fired their coach, that has played terribly, is going to lay 3.5 points on the road. So purely as a just kind of a logic-based system. I mean, and Miami sucks. We know that. They're the worst team in this index. But, man, that's a hold-your-nose type of game there.
Where do you have Washington in the index?
Well, they are tied for 31st. They're tied for 30th, I guess, with Cincinnati as the second worst team in the league. So Miami by, you know, a couple points there, and then those two teams. So the thing is that the Redskins are kind of buoyed by that first week performance. Other than that, they haven't really played very well. I guess they played good in the first half against the Patriots. So.
Yeah, I mean, the other caveat you have in this game is Miami is coming off the bye. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, I do think that in most cases, professional teams get a little bit of a motivational boost when their coaches get fired.
Right.
For whatever reason, whether they like them or dislike them, or the new coach they like or dislike, teams seem to play a little bit harder that next week.
Right. So. Well, sure. Then they know that their job's on the line, probably. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the next game we've got on the list is the Rams. They're at home against San Francisco. The 49ers coming off the big win. But the Rams are favored by 4 points at home. This line doesn't make sense to me, right? I mean, on paper, it doesn't make sense. Kind of in a narrative, it doesn't make sense. Is it just the, hey, this team was in the Super Bowl and they're at home, let's favor them by four? I mean, I've got it at 4.5. So you got a 4 there. So
yeah,
that initially was 4.5. So
I'm actually seeing a couple of 3.5s now on the board that are popping up today. Yeah. And this one's tough for me because I think this is a great spot where you can buy the Rams low. I mean, mm-hmm. The perception is never going to be higher on the 49ers than it is right now on a Tuesday after destroying the Browns. And I think that there's a good chance this number probably would have been closer to 5 or 6
right.
a week or two ago. So I think that the only way to look at this game is by playing the Rams, honestly, as hard as it is to do.
Mm, interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing 3.5 here. So interesting thoughts. Well, man, it is a tough week, like you said. how about this? This is another classic game. Atlanta is going to Arizona. They're somehow getting 1.5 points. Atlanta is terrible. Arizona isn't much better. Can I get you to back the Cardinals in this game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, getting the Cardinals with points at home against this Atlanta team seems like value to me. They're ranked 27th and 28th in DVOA, according to Football Outsiders. So right there back-to-back, and I imagine it's probably similar in your index.
It is. They're back-to-back. They're literally tied in the index, and I'm seeing a bet online. It's 2.5 points that they're getting at home. To me, that you got to take the Cardinals, even though it's obviously backing a bad team. But, I mean, how can they – like, to me, I can't – Atlanta's defense has been so bad, but their offense has been okay. You know, I guess that's the only caveat, is that the Cardinals, as bad as, you know, they are, they scored a little bit at Cincinnati, but they haven't been lighting it up, especially in the red zone. Mm-hmm. A lot of talk about Cliff Kingsbury's offense in the red zone. But, yeah, I mean, a home team getting points with an even opponent seems like what you're supposed to do when you're betting.
Yeah, the only thing that would give me pause is just Arizona coming off that win. I'm sure it was emotional after their first win this season for such a young team, young coach. Right. And I think there's a small chance that perhaps they'll maybe celebrate a little bit too much and not be quite as focused on this game coming back home and just thinking that all of a sudden they're going to be successful because they won one game.
Right, exactly. All right, well, let's go to the next one. Dallas laying 8.5 points at the Jets. We are 95% sure Sam Darnold's suiting up here. What do you think about Dallas going to the Jets?
Well, I think we're going to be on Darnold watch all week because if he's playing, I'm going to love backing the Jets in this spot. Home dog getting more than a touchdown. It looks like that number is ticking down as we speak, some 7s and 7.5s here. Seven.
Yeah, sure.
So it looks like that would tell me that Darnold's probably going to suit up, and I really do think that they're going to be a much better offense with him on the field.
Well, they have to be. They've been the worst offense. I think they're worse, if that's possible, than Miami. I don't know if they've scored. Did they score? They scored late, I guess, in the last game, but they're not scoring a lot of points on offense, that's for sure. Defense has scored sometimes, and that's about it. In fact, the Jets' defense has actually played decent, surprisingly. If you think about it, even the last game, two of those scores were defensive scores. They can't do anything when they're on the sideline for that. So, interesting take. Like you said, it's going to be a really tough week in the circuit contest to pick winners. Mm-hmm. How about the next one? We've got Denver. They're 2.5-point favorites at home against Tennessee. I do like Tennessee's defense. I don't know why they don't switch to Tannehill, because Mariota's bad, and it's showing. I mean, the Bills' defense is incredible. We know that. The only reason why the Titans scored is because they got a pick inside, like, the 25 or something. But I'd back the Titans in this game. if it wasn't Mariota.
I agree with you. I think that there's only one way to look in this game. I've been looking to fade Denver all season, and for them to be laying 3 points against anyone is probably a little bit too much, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
I think that we could probably, it's easy to say, but we could probably throw out that score last week against the Bills just because their defense is so good. Right. And really, I mean, they got into scoring position several times. They missed 3 field goals.
Yeah, I think it was 4, actually, because they got one blocked, right?
Okay. Yeah, 4 field goals. So, I mean, it's not like they weren't moving the ball against Buffalo. It was just a matter of not being able to put points on the board.
What does your metrics say on Denver's run defense? Because, obviously, the Titans are all about running the ball with Henry. And how are they against the run?
The Denver run defense is actually quite a ways down here on this list.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranked 27th in defensive line, giving up 4.77 adjusted line yards.
Yeah, so I do like the Titans. I just don't trust Mariota, you know. I mean, I think, like I said, you put any other quarterback in there for the most part and they're going to win that game. But, you know, we'll see. Mile High Magic.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one where I think that you're getting some 2 teams that are going in opposite directions.
Right.
The odds makers and the public are going to be all high and mighty on Denver after their big upset against the Chargers last weekend. And then you looked at Tennessee playing poorly at home against the Bills. So I think there could be some value on that side.
Okay. The next one is the Chargers. They're 7-point favorites at home against Pittsburgh. We don't know who's going to start for Pittsburgh. I can't imagine after Mason Rudolph just went out cold. I'm sure you saw the video. Feel bad for the kid. And he had to walk off because the cart was broken in Pittsburgh. Crazy. So you could have this Devlin Hodges, who was on the practice squad and played at Samford last year. He didn't play that bad, though.
No, in fact, I think he was the leading rusher for the Steelers. Or he had the longest run or something like that. But he had him in that game. And to be honest, they probably should have won if Mike Tomlin didn't inexplicably kick off in overtime. After winning the coin toss, they did get the ball back, but then Smith-Schuster fumbled, and then Tucker sealed it. But, man, this one is really difficult because it's impossible to predict what the Steelers are going to look like with this quarterback.
Right. And the Chargers, I mean, they just totally laid a dud last week. They're not playing very well as much as, you know, we liked them. Like last year, we loved this team. They just don't seem to be hitting those big plays like they did last year, and the run game – I mean, Melvin Gordon played, but he obviously isn't in the same kind of shape or something. Eckler, he had like, what did he have? Something like 8 catches for like 40 yards or something. I mean, they're just dinking and dunking the whole time.
Yeah, this passing game is really atrocious right now, and I don't think that Rivers has any receivers that he really trusts on this team right now.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, let's go to the next one. We've got the Lions are going to Green Bay. Green Bay is listed on here as a 4.5-point favorite. I see him bet online for 4. I really like the Lions. I can't believe I'm saying this. I dogged this team in preseason, but Patricia's got this team playing good defense, and they can run the ball. Now, the Packers did play pretty well against Zeke Elliott this weekend, but, of course, they were up by a bunch of points. What do you think about backing the Lions at Lambeau?
I'm right there with you. I actually locked in the Lions on Sunday plus 6, and I agree. I think there's tons of value here with them this divisional game. And Detroit has actually been really good running the ball. Kerryon Johnson has gone over 100 yards in multiple weeks this season. And I agree. I think that the outcome against Zeke and the Cowboys was a little bit of a misleading final because a couple early turnovers really took them out of their game plan.
Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's interesting that back in the Lions, wow. And, I mean, the Packers have kind of played dangerously, right? I mean, they won last week. But if Dak doesn't throw that pick, like, just right to the guy after they're, you know, down 2 scores, they got the ball, you know, they had some stops, and he just throws it right to him. I'm sure the defense was like, whatever. But the Lions have not been turning the ball over, playing smart football, and then that defensive line can really get after you. So we'll have to check out that line at the end of the day.
And they're coming off the bye.
Yep.
You know, presumably Stafford's more well-rested and healthier than he was the week before. And they are 3-1 against the spread this season. So certainly a team that oddsmakers have been undervaluing.
Okay. So we've got a couple we're flirting with. We're going to have to make some tough decisions Saturday morning.
We did skip over another juicy one. The Cleveland Browns are playing at home against the Seahawks. Cleveland is a two-point favorite.
Yeah, exactly. So you're on Seattle in this one?
I think so. It seems to me that has to be the way to go. What do you have for the index on these two teams?
They're quite a bit better. If you look at the index, this would be the fifth largest spread between the teams. You know, Patriots being top, then Ravens, then Cowboys, then 49ers, then Seahawks. So the Seahawks at getting 3 points on the road, it probably should be a lot less than that, actually. It maybe even be favored. Seahawks are playing at a really good level. Obviously, we've seen Russell Wilson play. And after last night, I'm more concerned that Freddie Kitchens doesn't have control of the team. Mm-hmm. Certainly, they have the talent, and this is what the handicap was in the beginning of the season. I don't know if you heard this garbage where Baker Mayfield wouldn't shake the captain's hands before the game and stuff like that. And it's just kind of – I mean, I also heard that Odell Beckham, you know, he returned that punt and he fumbled. It's because, like, people, like, were ready to get out of there. Like, nobody wanted to return the damn punt. So I just question whether he really has control of the team. So, yeah, I'd be on the Seahawks for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it looks like the number is definitely trending down 1.5 and even a pick 'em at one drop here. So we'll see what the contest number looks like.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I would probably, if I'm looking at my index, a pick 'em would probably be what it should be. But, you know, maybe just the opening line was, maybe it came out before the game last night. Yeah, sorry, I missed that one.
No worries. I thought you just really hated the Browns.
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. I want to love the Browns. Your cousin loves the Browns. We were talking about it. Of course, I bet on them last night, so now I hate them. But, you know, I'm ambiguous when that comes to that. I'm looking at the number here. So.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Any other items for the week we want to look at? I mean, this is obviously we got to jump back in the circuit contest. You got your big trip to, you know, Reno and Tahoe and. Sounds like an exciting weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to being able to log back into my Circa app and checking out some lines there, picking off some college football openers on Sunday. Really pumped about that. Nice. They're now first to market. Other than that, no, I mean, we really need a bounce back week. So I think that we can dig in here between now and Saturday and really pick out some winners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's do it. Well, that wraps up our episode here for the Side Action. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Well, let's all bounce back this weekend after the rough NFL
weekend. Yeah, bounce back ahead.
That's right.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. License under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.